You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Bundang today, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, so like I said, you didn't tune in last week. Tune in, download in last week. Yes, John has departed these shores, or will be shortly.
Sadly missed already.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'll replace John with another male host. Well, see
Is there a maximum of one female host at a time?
Well, I guess we could have two. I never thought about that. No, actually, you know, somebody did request that, that we should have somebody have two female co-hosts on and get a little bit of, you know,
female perspective.
Dishing or whatever. What do you gals do when you talk? Do you dish? Do you
us gals? Yeah. When we're not having pillow fights?
Yeah.
That's a secret.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. But I don't know. I think we do okay, you and I. But
yeah.
But, yeah. But we'll see. Anyways.
Maybe somebody like me who would like to join. Because that's how I got on. That's how I got the gig. Well, I just emailed and said, hey, what about me?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, yeah. When John is gone, can I take a spot? And I'm like, no, just come on. Yeah. All right. I guess weekend of June 22. June 22 is a Friday. It's my birthday, June 22. Yeah, I'll be Saship Il Yen. Did I say that right?
Yep, my birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, really? Well, jeez, yes. Happy birthday.
I will be slightly younger than that.
All right, yeah. So,
but only slightly.
I think I might probably be going away that weekend if the weather is nice. I like to, there's a hotel. Well, it's called the Imperial Palace now, but it used to be called Amiga Hotel. The first place I stayed at when I came here as a tourist. Very nice hotel in Gangnam. One of those super deluxe hotels, but not with the super deluxe hotel price.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they have a nice outdoor pool, and it's kind of a nice little thing the weekend, spend the weekend there.
So you're going to get away from Seoul to
Seoul.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's exactly what I like to do. My definition of camping is any place you're more than half hour away from a Starbucks. So, yeah.
Yeah, you could, if you're willing to just go a slight distance away from the city. Icheon is famous for the hot springs. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Any place where they still use cows as basic transportation, I don't know.
Hey! It's not that far out of the city.
I know, actually, what our previous podcast host, not
Sarah.
Sarah, thank you. Sarah.
The one called Not John.
My name buffer has just, I can no longer retain names. Because, you know, I'm remembering names all the time, right?
Yes. And, well, not me. Yeah. I just am like, hey, you.
God. I saw the husband of one of my coworkers. And I knew she was pregnant last time I saw her, so I figured that she must have given birth by now. So I stopped and talked to her. I'm like, oh, you must be a father by now, yada, yada. And I keep trying to remember, what is her name? What is her name? You know, say hello to... Can't remember her name. And so
tell everyone hi for me.
I know, yeah. Oh, wow, I wish you were there. I'll remember that in future. Yeah.
Yes. I have a lot of experience with not remembering names.
So I just attributed that to my name buffer has kind of exceeded its maximum capacity. Always remembering names and stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm sure I was talking about something else before I went off on a tangent to a tangent.
Ichon.
Oh, Ichon.
How horrible Ichon
was. Oh, right, right. So that weekend, I probably, my birthday weekend, I won't be there. Hotel Amiga. Yeah, Hotel Amiga. If you're a computer geek, you remember the Amiga computer. And that's why I picked the hotel. You know, just at the travel agent and, you know, what hotel and, you know, there's Amiga Hotel. I'm like, all right. I remembered the Amiga computer. And sure enough, the hotel's logo was the exact logo as the Amiga computer.
Excellent.
Yeah, so somebody must have just like...
I'll steal that.
Design a logo for us? Oh, hey. Yeah.
I can have it in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So I've got photos, too. Remember when I went there last year, they were still in transition, like, between Hotel Amiga. So a lot of the old Amiga logo is still on a lot of things. So I took pictures. So I'll post that up, yeah. But so so the weekend of June 22 probably won't be... Or I'll be busy. So there's probably no podcast that week. So don't, yeah. But that's a couple weekends from now, I think, or something. Yeah. Anyway. But, you know, I was coming to Bundang. And have you seen this when you come off the highway, you know, the little clover leaf?
Yeah.
There's all, you know, there's construction. And they have these eerily lifelike robots doing the traffic directing.
I have only seen actual humans doing the traffic directing. That must be new.
You know it. They've got these robots. It's like something out of Doctor Who. It's like the spookiest thing you've ever seen. And they have this incredibly natural movement. And it's only when you sort of look at their face, it's like this robot face.
I wonder if they were robots before, but I sit at the back of the bus, and maybe I just wasn't looking at them very clearly.
Maybe not, yeah. So that was kind of spooky. Wow. All right. When I came here, you were doing some marking. You were doing writing report cards.
Oh, all my progress reports, yes. Tomorrow, happy birthday to me. Mm. I have progress reports due. I've got 20 left.
Okay.
Just writing class, so hopefully I can knock those out without too much difficulty. But I've also got to review a bunch of materials. I've got to make 6-week lesson plans for some classes, because starting tomorrow I'll be working 12-hour days.
Oh, but before we started the podcast, I was complaining about my 4-hour days.
Yeah,
ooh.
You suck.
Well, it's so stressful. But did you put any mean comments on your report cards?
Yes, I try to state them nicely, but my meaning is usually mean.
What's the meanest comment?
One of my students, I just put, it's hard to evaluate him accurately because he's never done the assigned work and he doesn't participate in class.
Oh, that's good.
And I tried to, like, be nice. Perhaps he's just shy and needs time to open up to his classmate.
Okay.
But, like, there's no excuse for the not doing the homework that individually explained to him at the end of every class, item by item. And then the next class, he'd look at me like I was from Mars. Like, what? What was I supposed to do? And, like, the blank look that he could give was really masterful. He could have won an Oscar.
Right. But you've got very advanced students.
Not him.
Not him.
On average, yes, I've got advanced students.
Wow. This is the you know, meanest report card comment I ever wrote. This one kid and, I don't know, like Mark or something, and he wrote on his report card, Mark is more interested in discovering what's at the bottom of his potato chip bag than, you know, discovering his errors and how to correct them.
Yeah, I think that could be said for a lot of my students.
Yeah. One of the new classes I'm doing, it's only about a month and a half class before they move on to something or another, little bridge class or something. No textbook. You know, they don't want to buy a textbook for it because it's not too long. So I'm just going to drill them on verbs. I find that's one of the real weaknesses is the kids just don't know verbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat and play. Beyond that, they'll even use eat for liquids. You know?
Yeah, because they're just using Korean and English.
Yeah. So I'm going to drill them on verbs. So first class, I hand out a sheet with all the irregular verbs, and I want them to put it into past tense. I don't expect them to get them all, but I would like to see them get some.
Some.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the Big Ten, at least, you know.
Yeah. So there are three students just seem as confused can be. So I grab, you know, my teacher, the head teacher, head of the English program. I think, well, maybe they just don't understand the instructions. So So she explains it to them. And so an example, like eat, past tense, ate. All right. So they dutifully write down eight. You know, whatever. So after half hour goes by, all the other students are finished. I look at these three students. That's the only one that got eight.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, okay. If you have been studying English for 5 years and you can only put one verb in past tense, the one you are given.
Yeah. That's a little sad.
Yeah, so you got a little bit of homework to do this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And luckily the head teacher, she called their mothers and, they're playing in class too much and they've got some homework. Please make sure they get this homework done for Monday. So I'll have to see.
Yeah.
All right.
Good luck with that.
I know. For our snack of the week, gum. This is the first time we've had some gum. And, It's a weird name. It's how do you pronounce that?
Xylitol.
Xylitol, which I think is some sort of chemical
it
flavor.
It is. That's where the name came from.
All right. So
in Korean, it says xylitol 100%.
Really? But it has to have other stuff in it. It just can't be a
Well, then if you actually look at the ingredients, I think it is. It just xylitol.
All right.
Okay, a little scary.
And then with cream, we got xylitol. All right. It's an apple mint flavor. This is a weird little...
Yeah, that's a weird combination.
Name, kind of.
And whenever somebody offers me gum, which I rarely chew gum.
All right.
And then it's that. Well, I'm always surprised and...
Just please enjoy some for
not,
the podcast.
Not too pleased.
All right.
Okay, here we
go. But you can't chew it for too long because you just spit it out after.
So the first taste is apple.
Okay.
Which is like a green apple flavor. Not too bad. A little odd for candy.
A little bit of mint after that.
Yeah, now I got the mint and the sugar. Very sweet.
Spearmint is not a big flavor here.
No.
Yeah.
I recently did see Wrigley's gum, though.
What's that?
I did recently see Wrigley's gum somewhere. And they had double mint.
What's double mint?
Remember they used to have all the twin commercials?
Oh, right. Yes, okay. Right, the double mint twins, right? You're right. Okay. Weren't there a couple skaters or skiers or something like that?
Skaters.
Right. All right. How do I smell today?
You smell fine.
Okay, all right.
Actually, I can't smell you from here.
Okay, well, that's good then.
That's good, yeah.
It's working.
Right. You know what? I have to say, when I went and filled up my water just now, I noticed something you usually don't see in a Starbucks, that extra bit of class, which is so typically Korean. The big roll of toilet paper for the bathroom is actually outside of the bathroom.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah.
Next to the condiment station.
All right. I have seen that. Like, mostly subway stations a lot of times.
Right,
yes.
Like a public toilet, not a restaurant toilet.
Well, part of my normal kit is, I have a little Tupperware thing in my backpack with Starbucks napkins. One, because, the rainy season.
Yeah.
So it keeps them dry. Because there's nothing worse than a big mass of wet.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it's good. It makes good emergency toilet paper.
Yeah.
And for those times. It's soft. The Starbucks napkins are incredibly soft.
Yeah, good quality paper.
Yeah.
But I just think it's really funny. There's, a nice cafe. You pay, $5 for a coffee. The toilet paper is posted on the wall next to the condiments. So you can announce to the whole room,
I'm going to
the potty.
Okay, I'll have to grab a photo of that. Yeah. Clever, yeah. This Starbucks has actually got shared washroom facilities, not the dedicated washroom facilities.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, because if you go outside, it's like...
Oh, is it just one of the hallway?
Yeah,
Restaurants
and stuff like that, yeah.
That is something typically Korean as well. You think you're going into a bathroom for the restaurant, and then you step through the door, and it's actually a hallway, and you're sharing the bathroom with, a whole building of offices or something.
Right, yeah. All right. Quirky. Quirky fun stuff.
Yeah.
What are some of the quirky fun things you like to do on your in your spare time?
Well, there's all kinds of quirky, fun things you can do in Korea. When I first came here and air conditioning was not standard for teachers' apartments, every day when the weather was warm, without fail, I would go to a video bong. This was before the DVD bongs, even. And sit in a little dark, air-conditioned room and watch a movie. Also because at that time, I did not have cable. Because we kept asking my school, you know, can we get cable, can we get cable? And my roommate and I, and they would just be like, oh, it's very hard to get cable. And then, can we get cable, can we get cable? And then finally they were like, oh, it's very expensive. I think we just wore them down because we'd been asking for, you know, months on a near daily basis. And finally they were like, oh, well, it's very expensive. And we're like, what do you care? Right. We're paying the bill.
Okay.
And like a little light went on. I don't think they ever realized that we just wanted them to make the call for us to get it hooked up.
Okay.
I think they thought we were trying to get them to pay for our cable. And it was like a whopping $17,000 a month that was too expensive for them to pay.
What, you know, your apartment, a lot of times your apartment, you have like a bill from your apartment.
Well, yeah, but we didn't because we lived in a crap hole.
Okay. And it's itemized all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually a lot of times your electricity is on that bill. You don't get a separate bill from the electricity company.
Yeah, mine includes everything, even my TV.
Yeah. So some teachers sometimes report that, you know, like the, and the guard, the you know, the old guy, he puts it in little mailboxes.
Yeah.
They've actually had the guy come up to them and knock on their door and yell at them for using too much electricity.
Yes.
Yeah. Even it's like, well, I'm paying for it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if it's bulk utilities, which would make me mad because I live in an office town and I know some of the other places use a lot more electricity than I do.
I have heard... some places are, it's like, you know, there's one electric bill for the whole building, and then it's divided among the tenants, which is...
that's unfair.
Which is an awful... because if it's like you're just a lone person, and there's like, you know, there's a sauna or something, you know?
Right.
And then, well, they pay 1/100th, and you pay 1/100th, and that would be terrible.
Well, I'm sure they would divide it up at least by pyeong, but still, the offices that, you know, have their air conditioners blowing full blast... 8 or 10 hours a day or whatever,
you know.
Because I know the 1 month for exactly the billing month I was gone, and it only decreased my bill by like 10,000 won.
Oh, okay. I call it the work lunch bill problem. And I lived in a place in Seattle, and the water bill was divided up among tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into what we call the worker lunch problem, where you go out for lunch with your coworkers, and they decide, we'll have one bill, and we'll just divide the bill, you know, between the 12 people, 12 ways, evenly.
Right. Right. So then there's like the porterhouse steak guy and the green salad person.
Exactly. So it doesn't really pay for you to order an inexpensive item. The guy who's ordering the most expensive item then gets his meal subsidized by everybody else under him. So it's to everybody's advantage to order the most expensive item.
Yeah.
So when you're in that kind of situation, then it's almost makes perfect sense to just use as much electricity or water as you can.
Yeah.
You know, on the theory that if you're the chief hog, then everybody else will be subsidizing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no incentive to cut back or something. I just remember my apartment. That's what they were trying to somehow argue, that, you know, it'll be good. People will use less water this way.
No, they won't.
I know, and I'm thinking, no. I don't know.
Never happen.
All right, so the DVD bong, quirky fun. I talked about this before, but, you know, my quirky fun thing is just like walking.
Yeah.
This is
quirky?
Well, it quirky in that, like, I like to find two Starbucks and then walk between those Starbucks.
Okay.
So it's like, there's the Heihua Starbucks and then the Starbucks in Myeongdong. And I'll try to figure out how to walk from the Heihua Starbucks to the Starbucks in Myeongdong. And that's fun. I like that. You know, because you're not in the subway, you know, so you're kind of getting a really good sort of street level view of the city.
Yeah.
You notice a lot.
Yeah, we
of
could
things.
Do that today. There's one on the other side of Somerset Plaza.
Ah, right. The other
side exit of Somerset Plaza.
Oh, there's another Starbucks right.
But it's probably not even open today. It's like in the entrance of another shop, like an electronic shop or something. So it's got like three tables.
Ah, right.
They're like three nice cozy tables because they've all got the big, like, comfy chairs.
Okay.
But that's it. I think it's mostly to go thing.
Wow. You have another quirky fun thing.
Oh, I've got all kinds of quirky fun things.
Lay one on me.
If you are somewhat dorky like myself, there are culture centers
over
the place. There's here in Pundong, at the very least, there is one right outside of Samsung Plaza in the building with the Starbucks that is next to the movie theater, not the big Starbucks.
Okay.
And at Sunai Station, it's on the top floor of the Lotte department store, which is the subway station.
Right, yes. But a lot of the big department stores have a culture center.
They do.
Yeah, okay.
And what it is all kinds of arts and crafts, like all kinds of different kinds of painting classes.
Okay.
And then all kinds of craft stuff. Like I took a pojagi class, which is, you know, the traditional cloths, like a sort of traditional patchwork, but it's not used as a blanket here. It's used as like a wrapping cloth or a cover. Or just a decoration.
Okay.
And it was a really nice class. I think all together it was less than $200, but that included I want to say 10 classes, and each class we got all of the silk that we needed, plus the thread, and of course the teacher, and she gave us a pattern each week.
Right.
So it was actually, considering that we got the teacher and everything, probably could not have bought all the materials for that price.
Okay.
Because, of course, she was getting, like, a big volume discount.
Right.
And they have all kinds of classes, like, pages and pages of stuff. So, you know, if you're interested in some sort of class, they also do, like, cooking.
Okay.
And they've also got the usual lame ones. Like, they have, like, barista classes where you can learn how to work at Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
You know.
All right.
Whatever. The cooking classes I've always been kind of disappointed in because I would like to take a Korean cooking class. But it's geared for Koreans. Most of the stuff is in Korean. And although, obviously, if you're taking like something like art or whatever, it's, you know, you can see what they're doing.
Right.
The cooking classes are all geared to people who know how to make regular Korean food.
Right, okay.
So it's all like the fancy, you know.
Oh, okay.
Wedding buffet spreads and
right.
that kind of thing. So I've never taken a cooking class.
Wow.
And I've never been to Everland, although I've been to the outside of Everland.
Okay.
All around Everland, they have a bunch of other stuff to do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Last weekend, I went to Hoam, which is a museum.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And outside the museum is a huge English-style garden and statues and the stone grandfathers, and it's really cool. And that was 4,000 won.
Okay.
There's a shuttle from Everland. They also have a transportation museum, which I've been to.
All right.
I don't know what the fee is for that one because I actually went with my kindergarten. But it's a car museum. It's really cool.
Okay.
And they have a speedway, which occasionally has races.
Okay.
And other stuff. I don't know anything about, like, entrance fees or whatever there. And they have a zoo with a safari and a thing where you can take pictures with the animals or feed the animals. Animal parade. And they've got, like, a bird show with falcons and hawks and eagles and stuff. So there's lots of stuff to do out here, even outside the big city.
Okay. But what I think I like to do is just get on a random bus.
Oh, wow. That is adventurous.
Yeah.
But I've only ever done that by accident.
Well, most buses will eventually stop at a subway station, so you're never in too much danger of getting, like, hopelessly lost.
Oh, no. I ended up on a country road one time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends a lot maybe where you are.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That was in Chunju. We actually left the paved road.
All right.
And I was like, well, the guy's got to turn around and go back, and I'm just sitting there. He started sweeping the bus, and I was like, when do you go back to the city? And he's like, I don't know. Excellent. So I had to walk back to the main road.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Get another bus.
Well, Seoul, you're usually not in too much danger.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's kind of fun. And then you can, like, with your T-Money card, you can transfer. And
that's true.
Yeah. So you can transfer as much as you want for no money, you know, just your initial. Yeah. And
so you kind of act like a homeless person, is what you're saying.
More or less, yes. I mean, don't I look like a homeless person? I kind of.
I think you need some 1,000 won products to sell.
Yeah. Well, it was yesterday I was sitting on a coffee bean patio near the Cheonggyecheon. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's another nice thing.
Yeah, just sitting on a little patio.
The Cheonggyecheon.
Oh, the Cheonggyecheon, yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm more in like, I love sitting on coffee shop patios. nature, water, trees, those things, yeah. I guess those are interesting, too.
Those are quirky in Seoul.
Yeah, but I was sitting on the patio, and this homeless guy, you know, kind of comes and, like, takes some cigarettes, used cigarettes from the, from the little... the ashtray thingy, and then I'm drinking water from my sippy cup, and for some reason he thinks this is the most hilarious thing in the world. Like, a guy I've just watched take used cigarettes, you know,
is amused by your sippy cup.
Exactly. And he just starts laughing at me, and I sort of look at him, I'm like, it's funny, eh? It's funny. He just sort of walked
almost
off.
As funny as recycling cigarettes.
Yeah,
but cigarettes have gotten pricey here lately.
Really?
They used to be like 1,000 won a pack when I, you know, back when I first came here, and they didn't know about taxing cigarettes. Now they've kind of realized, hey, national health care, cigarettes not so good for the health, maybe they should pay extra for the cigarettes.
Well, that's mostly how we finance our health care in Canada.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, taxes on cigarettes and booze and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, another fun thing I like to do is going to the grocery store. And I like to buy things under $1, and then try them.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like food?
Yeah, food. Yeah,
That is adventurous.
Not like, yeah, like.
Well, you never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, just either little. I mean, I mostly know the snacks now, but before when I first came here, I would just go to like the, because there's always like the dollar table. Yeah. Of snacks, and so I would buy the, you know, just like, I don't know what that is, but it's, you know,
it's $1. How bad can it be?
Yes, 981. I'll try it. Yeah, and so a lot of times pleasant surprises, like those sort of fried honey cakes, salgua or something.
I have no idea.
They look like little flowers, and they're brown and deep fried honey cake cookie things.
Okay.
It was one of our snacks of the week a long time ago. What's the Korean word for rice but uncooked rice?
Not salgua.
Yeah,
would just be like rice cookie.
Yeah, rice cookie. Yeah, salgua, and but they taste like donut grease.
Ooh.
Deep, congealed.
Nice.
Hardened. They're wonderful. It's just the most wonderful tasting things in the world. Yeah.
I don't know. I think donut grease is only good in a Krispy Kreme donut that's still hot.
Well, that's exactly what they taste like. They taste like a Krispy Kreme donut in a little convenient cookie size.
In something you can buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's one thing I like to do.
Find new ways to get your donut grease more conveniently delivered.
Any other weird, quirky things? Hmm? Weird, quirky things?
Other than that? Well, something that you can do here that you can't do anywhere else I've ever lived is like Dongdaemun.
Okay.
Dongdaemun, you can just pick a random building and go in. And I'm not so good with the overwhelming crowds. So I can usually last about 5 minutes before I'm ready to stab my eyeballs out and put myself out of my misery. But if you don't mind crowds, it's an interesting thing.
Okay.
Dongdaemun is full of clothes and all kinds of other stuff. And a lot of them are actually made, like it's each little kiosk, which it, like, might all seem like one big shop, but it's actually each little kiosk is individually owned.
Little fashion towers.
Towers. A lot of the people actually make the clothes that they sell.
Oh, okay.
And so they may not have a particularly large size range, especially if you are not like a typical Korean size.
Right, yes.
And they're really upfront. Like you'll walk within 10 feet and they'll be like, not your size.
Okay, right.
You know? And like they'll have a big look of fear on their face.
Right, yes.
And you cannot try anything on.
Right. Yes, usually not. Yeah.
Yeah. They have no facilities to try it on, but you're not allowed to like slip it on over what you're wearing either.
They do have these strange It's like this skirt you can put on. Nice. It's for women, yeah. It's like this weird little skirt you put on over top, you know, maybe you're like your pants, and then you take off your pants, and then you're wearing this skirt, and then you can try on the new pair of pants if you're interested in buying. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So it's a bit of changing room gymnastics, really.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I went there a long time ago with a friend, and a little dating tip, you know.
Okay.
You go there with a friend, and like the people behind the counter, they'll like, who is he? Is he your boyfriend? And you know, and oh no, it's just my friend. And so you can get your female friend to, you know, pimp you out, kind of thing. You know, maybe like, he's single. Do you want, you know? I don't speak
he's
English.
He's single, and I've got a business card of his.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I kind of like those places too. If you go all the way, what I like to do is go all the way to the top, and usually there's an eating area up there, and it's like, you know, 10 floors, and you get a really nice view of the city.
Okay.
Yeah, so just sort of shoot up there, and then, I like to go up there, especially Dongdaemun, because then you can look down on the stadiums and stuff like that. And then that and that place, you know, all these L's and R's.
Yeah.
Like, why would they ever do that? You know.
I like the silent G especially.
Yeah, and go up to the top there. And that's kind of a nice view of Myeongdong.
And Myeongdong's another one. You can just wander around, see people, watch, do a little shopping. Actually, I hardly ever go in any of the stores at Myeongdong. Okay. I love buying off the racks on the streets.
Okay.
Because everything's like $5. And how can you go wrong? If it doesn't fit, that's what the clothing recycling bin is for.
I like to get the socks there a little.
Where else can you get a pair of socks that have a ramyun package printed on them?
That's true, yeah. You got to watch those socks is, you know, even though they say like Nike, they're not really Nike.
Right. Assume any brand names are fake.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll last about 8 washings.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's actually longer than I would have thought.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They are sort of just glorified trouser socks, most of them.
Yeah. Sometimes the socks don't last too long. Man. Even the, there's this one little clothing store in Myeongdong. Called Myeongdong Department Store, and they basically sort of sell like end of season, end of run, things that fell off a truck. You just never know what's there from day to day. And I like to buy a lot of my headphones there for my. Okay. I go through a lot of headphones here.
I do too. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, and you work that into your budget. You know that you're because you. Pull, you catch it on things, and
I think they just get the wires bent in my bag, because I just keep it in my bag, and I think the wires aren't that strong.
Yeah, you'll destroy a lot of headphones here, but I buy my headphones there. They're cheap. I bought some underwear there, but it didn't last long. It's like, you know, a year old, and it's got all these little holes in it and stuff.
Nice.
And, yeah, so that's a trash bag.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. You see any t-shirts this week?
No, but on the way over here,
okay.
I saw something which I can only imagine is the latest in well-being products.
Oh, good. Okay.
The ad was actually on the side of a bus, so I did I pulled the Crazy Foreigner card and I walked straight out into the street to get a better look. It is Sunday.
All right.
The product is called Vagisy.
Oh, great.
And unfortunately, the English on the box, which is what I was trying to get a closer look at, was German.
Okay.
And it's been a long time since I've studied German. So between my bad Korean and my bad German, I think it is an odorless vitamin C vaginal suppository.
Wow.
Which first begs the question,
why?
Is there really such a vitamin C deficiency that someone would need a suppository for that fast-acting release into the body? And second, if there is such a deficiency so widespread, why is it only to women?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be a unisex anal suppository.
you know, it might be like the Victorian era, you know, where the doctors would, you know, recommend these old women, massage themselves down there, okay. Things like that, you know, like, you know, and it was just, you know, it was just masturbation, but it wasn't the,
yeah, it was called a massage, so yeah, it was okay.
It was this medical thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's something, I don't know. Oh, man.
But it just kind of grossed me out, and, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
Why?
But I've been noticing, and it's not quite English because it's French, but I've been noticing, like, I wouldn't even know what you would call French English, but, like, weird French. But there was a picture of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a dog. I didn't get a picture of this, but it was a dog, and then it said, "Bonjour." So it said a bonjour, bonjour, bon day. I don't know, bonjour, hello, yeah. And but then I saw one guy had a T-shirt. I didn't get a picture of this. It said, "I married a communist." So I'm like,
okay.
the new sequel, Mike Myers sequel to, you know, I Married an Axe Murderer.
Was there a sequel to that?
I don't know. Maybe that's the sequel. I Married a Communist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's kind of a fun, I thought it was sort of an interesting idea for a T-shirt. Yeah. And, but this one I did get a picture of. And I got it in Insadong. Insadong has become my favorite place to try and get English T-shirt fine pictures because there's a lot of people there. And it's very easy to take discreet tourist photos,
yeah.
You know, like, ooh, Hoduck, how exotic, snap, got that photo. And that's exactly what I was taking a picture of when I captured this woman. If it's a guy, it's maybe a bit easier, but if it's like, you know, trying to take a photo of a woman's chest, it's, you know, yeah. So,
especially if she's in the range where she's likely to have a good English T-shirt, which would be teenager,
yeah,
early 20s maybe.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, well, this woman was kind of young too. So, but it said it was a young woman too, and on it said glacial greed pussy. and then I'm imagining by way of explanation, it said underneath in smaller letters, only what going. How can this all?
Okay.
So I thought, okay, well, that clears it up.
Indeed. I'm glad they had that explanation, because otherwise it would just been a complete non sequitur.
Oh, man, yeah. Another trend I'm thinking I'm noticing is just statements of fact being put on T-shirts.
Yeah. I saw one today, but it wasn't English, and so I probably forgot what it was.
No, there was one, it was like a truck, and it said, there are a lot of trucks on the highway.
The end.
Yeah, the end. So I'm thinking, maybe that's another trend. It's just, you know, perfectly acceptable statements of fact.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Man. I thought of last week our Konglish words. A couple more favorite Konglish words. Homepage.
Yeah.
Yeah, for homepage.
Yeah, which doesn't even, like... Home, okay. There's no P in homepage. It's obviously homepage.
Okay.
And somehow they've combined the page to P.
Yeah. We've also got Cyworld to say mini homepage.
Mini homepage.
Do you have a Cyworld?
No, I don't.
No, okay, yeah. I don't have a Cyworld either. That's nigh impossible to get unless you already have a Korean ID number kind of thing.
And it just seems something kind of lame to do, you know, to go through all the trouble of getting someone's number.
Yeah.
When you could just get a blogger account.
And then this one I really hate, Dika.
Yeah.
Digital camera. It's new sort of, I think that's emerged recently.
Yeah, in the last maybe 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Because it was the Dika phone.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. That's
digital camera hand phone.
As I said last week, I like a lot of the Konglish only because it helps kids learn words. You know,
sort of. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they think that things are English that really, really aren't.
That's true. I mean, it butchers the pronunciation a bit, but it gets them 90% of the way there. So, like, you know, sofa or interior, slippers.
Yeah, those where it's just completely a loan word. Yeah, right. that's good. But the ones where it's truly Konglish and is not Korean and is not English.
Yeah.
But the kids think it's English because they know it's not Korean.
Digital, they have that camera, they use that, but now this contraction, Dika.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they'll use it as if you know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Dika.
Because they know it's not Korean, so it must be English.
Yeah. So that one's kind of pissing me off a little bit. We have a couple little Subway things.
I do.
Yeah. You had something about
Subway? Earlier this week, I saw an older woman,
all right,
surreptitiously collecting newspapers.
Ooh.
Yes. So I think they're secretly trying to get their old gigs back, and more power to them.
All right. Good
for them.
All right.
Also, there was a subway line collapse in North Seoul earlier this week.
What happened?
The retaining wall collapsed.
Oh, really?
I think they're building a new line, and it was really close by. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So insufficient structure, I guess, in the wall.
Well, that's scary.
What is really scary is that it was 17 minutes from when the structural fault was noticed until the train stopped running, and the last train only passed 7 minutes before the actual collapse.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Now, I understand, you know, if the guy had said, stop the trains, and nothing had happened, I'm sure it would have been his ass, but that's a pretty big chance to take.
All right.
You know, because the subways in Seoul, this was a work day. You know, chances are it had, you know, a pretty fair number of people on it. So there was that. Right. And it took, it took 3 days to get it up and running.
Wow.
Which, you know, I'm not sure it was fully up and running at that point. I think they had a shuttle.
Okay.
Taking from point A to point B around the missing part.
All right. Google for that, because I'm in Northern Seoul. I wonder what line that was.
Oh, well, does one go to Ilsan? I think it may have been.
Oh, okay, maybe line 3, I think. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Okay. But I was at Starbucks and I was looking out the.
Of course you were.
Yeah, of course. I was looking out the window, and they're opening up this Cold Stone Creamery right next to Starbucks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's in Myeongdong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they opened one on the other side of the station here.
And the workers were pulling off the wood hoarding facade, and there's all these nails and stuff, you know, in the wood, and I look down and the workers, they're just wearing running shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. You don't want to wear work boots when you're doing that?
Are you kidding? That'd be like wearing a hard hat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a mask when you're welding. Come on. That's crazy talk.
Yeah. That can't be safe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That was my favorite thing in Chungju. That's one thing I really miss here, is that you don't see the crazy construction guys. Like the one guy shielding his face with his hand and peeking through while he's welding. Or I saw one guy holding up, and he was underneath something, holding it up.
All right.
With his hand covering his face, while the guy on the top of it was using a nail gun. And I really was sad I had to go to work, because I really wanted to see the nail gun attach his hand to his face. But, and also, when they were doing some sort of little crackdown, they got, at one construction place, a big wall of hard hats.
Okay.
And they would all be lined up on the wall
all right.
while all the guys were working.
Right, okay.
But they had them.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a law. You have to have them on the work site.
You have to have them, yes.
Right. But there's nothing quite in the law that says you have to be wearing them.
Yeah.
Ah.
So in case anyone came to inspect the hard hats, they were there, ready to be inspected.
Yeah, it's like the fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
They must have the fire extinguishers, but I don't think it's a law that says we must be checked, you know. Yeah.
They don't have to be in any sort of operational condition.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, my subway story was, I was going down the subway stairs. You know, the train was in the station.
Yeah.
Which always starts a mad rush.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I said before, I just think running for public transportation is beneath me, you know? Because there's another one coming in 4 minutes, you know? Unless it's the last train of the night.
Well, it depends on how late you are for where you're going.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I give myself lots of time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the doors weren't closing. And there's that weird, like, well, do I go? Do I not go? And just when I said, oh, okay, I'll go for the doors, then they start closing, yeah. Right? And then, I stop, right? Because the doors are closing. And it's not like elevator doors where there's sensors, you know? Right.
Not Korean elevator doors.
Yeah.
Come on.
And anybody who's seen that video, the woman who was... What station was that? I think it was... might have been in the Bundang line, actually. Where the woman was trying to, like... block the closing subway doors with her baby.
What?
You didn't see that? Oh, that was
God.
A classic video. Yeah, the doors are closing, so the woman decides she's
gonna... she stuck her child in there?
Well, the child was in the little stroller.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So she jams a stroller into the doors, right?
Jesus.
And but then the doors just close on the stroller. And meanwhile, the subway guy has just now engaged the subway, and it starts going. And I mean, luck beyond luck, somehow the force of the subway moving, the baby goes flying out of the stroller.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I mean, the baby's just like, the look on the baby's face is like, this is new, you know?
I cannot believe somebody got that on film.
Yeah, well, it was a security camera.
Oh, a security camera, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, just boom. I think they might have caught the baby or something. And then the, you know, the subway sort of takes off with the stroller stuck in the door.
Oh my God, that is scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because usually the guy looks like there is like obviously no sensor whatsoever.
Right.
Just like the elevators, which will just crush you. I've never had that happen with the subway because, you know, an elevator,
right.
You know, can't drag you away, you know. But the subway driver, they're usually pretty conscientious. They usually look out there,
right.
Do like a physical check to make sure that like nobody's half hanging out.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was behind schedule, so, you know, yeah.
That's true.
Trying to shave a minute off or something. Yeah. So, especially since that video, I've always been very... cognizant of, you know, those doors, right? And I don't want to be on, you know, Jay Leno, you know?
Yeah. So you're the guy that got crushed.
Yeah. I think the video might have been on Jay Leno. But anyway.
Yes, another reason for Koreans to hate him.
Yeah. So anyway, so you know, the doors are closing, so I stop.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. But, you know, there's an old guy behind me. And, you know, and so he kind of just stops behind me at the last second, you know, and steps around, and then he, you know, grabs the doors. This guy,
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this guy looks like he doesn't have strength to pick up his cane, let alone like pry two subway doors open. But this is his plan.
You know,
he's going to like keep those doors from closing. And but you know, luckily the driver guy notices the, you know, the old guy trying to like do something entirely unsafe, and then opens the doors again. So I'm like, all right, well, the doors are open, I'm gonna go through now. But then the old guy looks back at me like
angry.
Yeah, like, what are you thinking? Like, why wouldn't you just, you know, jam yourself into those doors?
Right. Yeah. You made me have to do this.
I know.
You should have done it for me.
I'm just like...
You know what it's like? It's like the drivers that rear-end the guy who stops at the yellow light.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like, what were you stopping for a yellow light for?
Yeah, why would you stop? Oh, man. And then there's new crackdown...
Oh, there is a new crackdown, yes.
All right. Wait, we should explain the crackdowns.
The crackdowns. Okay,
Every month there's a crackdown.
Yeah, every month there's a crackdown because apparently they can't do it all the time. So they pick a subject, any subject. You know, for a while it was English teachers. For a while it was prostitutes.
Right.
Which apparently has led to some rather extreme trafficking into the states of Korean prostitutes.
Oh, great. Okay.
Coming to a massage parlor near you.
Okay.
The current crackdown is the white line crackdown, which has nothing to do with cocaine.
Right, okay.
It actually has to do with the white line in front of a red light.
Yes,
which,
okay.
As anyone who has been 30 seconds in Korea knows,
okay.
The white line means nothing. It is not even a gentle suggestion.
Right, yes.
It's just like art on the road. But now they've apparently, the whole month, they're going to have cops looking for people that are over the line, and
okay.
They'll be ticketing them.
Right. Because there's the line where you should stop.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's
the further line where you really aren't supposed to stop.
Yeah. But what we call the intersection.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Right, yeah. So a lot of people just sort of park, wait for the light in the intersection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if there's a crossing. They'll just park right in the crossing.
Right, yeah. Or they'll kind of stop on the crossing. They mostly stop for people these days, which is...
Usually.
Yeah, which is good.
But so. They'll, like, inch forward the whole time.
Yeah.
So the entirety of the red light, the people are, like, inching forward, whether there's people crossing or not.
Right, yeah.
And so by the time it actually gets the yellow light that flashes before the green light,
right.
That's usually, like, the flag coming down at the Indy 500, you know.
Yeah. Other crackdowns I've noticed... For a while, there was people riding motorcycles without helmets. There was actually a crackdown. I saw some cops pulling people over for that. And then the first time I ever, and it may be the only time I've ever seen a cop giving somebody a moving violation ticket was for using a cell phone. This is right when they introduced the you have to have like
a hands-free.
Yeah, geez, yeah. That was maybe 2001. And
for a month to introduce the law, they did a crackdown.
Yeah, so yeah, there was a couple other crackdowns. Any other?
Yeah, they really seem to have one a month, and they're usually pretty lame, and not really interested in reducing like. Real crime. It's just sort of like nuisance crime.
Yeah,
like people crossing the white line.
Yeah, it's a PR thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
You know, yeah, prostitutes. Those they're really like raking it in and, you know, abusing the system.
Right. Oh, man.
They could have like a pimp crackdown, or they could have like an organized crime crackdown, but no. Why go to the source?
Bacchus D.
Oh, yeah.
You have an update on the Bacchus D.
Yes.
Which was our snack of the week.
Snack of the week a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A coworker was listening to it, and she gave me a little further information. First, I should say that, you know, due to the nature of my Korean, if a product is listed in English, that's the name I look at.
Right.
And the correct pronunciation is actually Bacchus D.
Okay.
So if you're listening and wondering, what is Bacchus D? That's what it is. But if you go to an establishment which serves alcoholic beverages and you order a cocktail that in the States would use Red Bull as the mixer, they use Bacchus D.
Okay.
For the mixer, which
wow.
I can only imagine would be like using, you know, Jaeger flavored syrup as a mixer.
Oh, you know, reminds me of another crackdown. There was the Pokdanju crackdown.
How about doing a drunk driver crackdown? Oh, actually, I think they do those occasionally.
Yeah, I do see those the little ride programs, as we call them. But Pokdanju is like what we call a boilermaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a glass of beer and a shot of whiskey. Here they call it Pokdanju, where it's like glass of beer and a shot of whiskey or a shot of soju or something.
Yeah, something nasty.
And it's part and parcel with the business culture.
Yeah,
and
it's really
politics.
Part of office drinking.
Yeah, and it's just the way things get done here.
Yeah.
It's like
you can't be an office worker,
right.
Really.
But you won't even enter into serious discussions with a client until you've gotten just drunk, hammered, blind, stinking drunk over these poke tags. Your poke tag means explosion, bomb.
Yeah.
Jew.
Why would you do business when you're sober anyway?
Exactly. So, you know, I've always thought it's like a trust thing. It's like, you know, you get incredibly drunk with this guy, and then, you know, you wake up the next day in a bus shelter, and you still have your wallet.
And then like, you can trust him.
Exactly. He could have rolled me, right? You know, but I still have my wallet. I can trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like the team spirit of all getting drunk together.
Yeah.
I guess the workers that vomit together stay together or something.
So they're doing this thing where all these heads of government and business were pledging, no more. We got to alter the culture because, you know, people are, this isn't good for society.
Yeah.
And so, like, the mayor of Seoul pledged that, you know, no more Pok Tan Ju, and, you know, the minister of tourism, no more, yada, yada, yada. So my friend, she works for the UN, and she came to Seoul for a conference about bird flu. And I guess when she was, they had another conference in, like, Singapore, and the Korean delegation, the one question they asked was, when do we declare martial law? That's all they really want to know. So, do we declare martial law now? No.
After lunch?
What about that? Is that when we declare martial law? What stage do we declare the martial law? Right. So, yeah, so the bird flu ever gets out of hand, that's the plan.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so she comes here, and then, she starts telling me about how, oh, I was out with the mayor of Seoul and we were having this Pok Tan Ju. And I'm like, really? Because just last month he was pledging no more.
Never again. No.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah. That was last month's pledge.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, they had a woman actually win a lawsuit. She got terminated.
Oh, right, yes.
For not being able to keep up with the Pok Tan Ju. And so she won a couple $1 million, maybe. I think it was in the low millions.
Right. Yeah, she got fired because she just didn't go out drinking, right? Yeah.
No, she did, but she couldn't keep up.
Oh, okay. So they fired her anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I think finally she said, like, I can't do this anymore. You know.
All right.
And she was like, right, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Minsook, she works for some government office. And she does that. She's just like, has to go out for the obligatory drinking things. But she just, in the middle of the night, she just picks up and she's like, I'm tired, I'm going home. And it's always like,
what?
Exactly.
You're human?
Exactly.
You want sleep?
There was a subway campaign for a while, like ad campaign on the subway, kind of like some child's message to his father, like, Daddy, stop coming home late at night drunk, you know, come home and play with me, or something like this. And I just thought it has to be the worst ad campaign, because I would think 80% of you know, fathers don't want to go out drinking every night. You know what I mean? And they want to go home to their family and be with their children.
It just make them feel guiltier.
Exactly. There's just this awful, awful guilt thing that's going on in this
what
ad.
What they should do is have one that says, bosses.
Exactly, yeah.
Wouldn't your workers be happier, healthier, and more hardworking if they had more than an hour of sleep a night?
Exactly.
If they knew what their kids looked like, not from photos.
Yeah. Yeah, the message, and not like you can even put photos of your children on your desk.
Yeah.
Do you find that your Korean coworkers don't really personalize their space?
Yeah, no, they don't.
Yeah. I mean, I try to move as much of my apartment into my workspace as possible.
My extended storage area.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my thing. You know? Yeah, so I'm always into just personalizing my space, no matter where I am, you know. And but then, yeah, you look at your Korean coworkers and it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
Korean kids do the darndest things. We haven't had one of these in a while. I started new semester and got some new students and had this one new girl who, her name is Biddy. Her English name is Biddy. I didn't give that to her. Biddy. And like old Biddy.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a baddie once.
A baddie? Oh. But I'm like, are you sure you're not trying to say Betty? No, Biddy. Like, all right, Biddy. Yeah, so.
Itty bitty?
I think maybe I'll have to take her aside and with the head teacher and like, it's kind of means old, nasty woman. That's always a good way to get them to not take a stupid name, you know?
Yeah.
It's a halmony name.
But, or in this case, a halmony insult.
Yeah. Or countryside. Like yeah. Something that implies like the countryside is sort of negative connotation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but so this girl, the new girl, and then, I don't know, boy sitting next to her looks over at her. And then, you know, as I'm talking to this girl, like, you know, how are you? Then this boy looks at her and just shouts out, she has a long face.
And, no, how do you really feel?
Yeah. I mean, the girl does, I mean, she's got a face like a skateboard. I mean, yes, actually it was quite accurate, but I'm like, okay, well, you know, dude, we...
Right.
I don't know. She has a long face.
I always like the big nostrils or big nose holes, as my students call them.
Yeah, they call it nose holes.
Teacher?
Yeah, there was one...
My nose holes are small. His nose holes are big.
One of the Korean teachers, that's what the kids fixated on.
Yeah.
She has big nose holes.
What an odd thing.
Yeah. So whenever they drew a picture of her, they, I mean, just these,
like
you know,
pig no-
yeah,
pig
saucer
nostrils.
Sized, you know,
yeah.
Nose
it's
holes.
It's so mean. Like, I've had students brought to tears, and, when, you know, like, suddenly someone would start crying in class, and this, you know, not at my current school, it's in the past, and I go over to investigate, and it would turn out that they were being ridiculed for the size of their nostrils. You know, like, what an odd thing. No wonder this country is obsessed with plastic surgery.
Yeah, right, yeah.
If, you know, they'll fixate on something so completely insignificant.
Oh, man.
Oh, they call the dark-skinned kids dirty, or black,
oh, really?
Or African.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My kids get quite tanned in the summertime. They spend a lot of time playing outside.
Playing outside? What kind of students do you have?
I know.
They're not supposed to know what sunlight looks like.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you see when you're in the car on the way to Hagwon.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That kids are getting sun, you know. Why are you getting sun? It must mean you're not studying. You know?
Must mean you're never going to go to college. No, a fair number of my kids these days, in the past year or so,
okay.
A lot of them have started going to soccer Hagwon or... some other kind of sports Hagwon, okay. Which, you know, it's sort of sad that they have to have it as a Hagwon.
Formalize it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's good that if that's the, you know, if that's the right. Only option, then at least that they get that.
Now, if they had, like, an English coach.
Yeah. Well, I think that'd be, like, a great way to rake it in.
Yeah,
if you were, like, a PE major or something in college,
right, okay.
Come to Korea and teach, like, English soccer, English hockey, you know.
A lot of times I have, like, my little... my Dika, my digital camera. And so one student was like sleeping in class. So I took his picture. And then in the computer is in the teacher's office. I made it the wallpaper. So there's a picture. Yeah. He hasn't come into the office yet. And I'm just, he's going to freak out, I think, when he. But so yeah, some days I almost want to do that, just videotape my children and like, I will send this to your mother.
God, I think I could get some good bribes out of that one.
Yeah. I do want to get a video, one of the girl students like wailing away on one of the boy students. Because you'll see that a lot of times, like some of this girl, because the girls some days are a bit bigger than the boys, you know. And so yeah. So they grab the boys and bam, bam, just wail away on the boy. I don't know, that's always kind of funny.
Good times.
Any darndest things your kids have done this week?
Oh, my kids don't do darn things.
No. Oh, man. Have they? Hmm? They've all seen Shrek?
Oh, yes. Every last one has seen Shrek and Pirates of the Caribbean. I can get it out.
Okay.
Yes, and they all think that I am impossibly behind the time since I have not seen either one of those movies yet. And especially, I admitted to one class that I had not seen any of the Pirates movies, and I think I may have lost their respect forever.
But, wow. Yeah, a lot of times when the kids are playing the computer games they're playing, I go to Wikipedia and look up the games in Wikipedia just so I can find interesting questions to ask them. Because it
that's
just
a pretty
it
brilliant
just,
scam.
Yeah, it just gets them out of their slumber, you know. So there's one game called Kart Rider, which is a lot like this game Mario Kart. But then there's like glove rankings, like different glove colors and rankings. And so you can just sort of like, what's your glove ranking in Kart Rider? What? Huh? And then there's another game they're playing called Dungeon and Fighter. Not Dungeon Fighter, Dungeon and Fighter. So yeah, so you know, what character class are you, or what quest are you on? Yeah. And their favorite game of all is Sudden Attack. Sometimes you'll hear the kids, they say headshot. Have you heard your kids say headshot?
No.
Oh, okay. My kids just will sing out randomly, headshot. And then I'm like, eventually you kind of clue in, that's from something, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right.
You can't all just suddenly...
When you're like, full length.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you go full frontal, where are your kids getting that? You know, or something like that. Right. That would freak me out. Yeah. So I'm like, it was from the Sudden Attack game where there's all these different weapons, and one of the weapons is sniper rifles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then like when with a sniper rifle, you know, a headshot, in the game, someone says in the game, shouts out, headshot. You know, they like that.
But see, with some of them, you can definitely tell who gives up sleep in order to play their computer games, because they do like randomly say the commands that are in the game, or the like in, I think it was StarCraft, it might have been Warcraft, had a bunch of like pseudo military things that would happen when you did certain things. It would shout out something.
All right.
And the kids, like, I've heard them before, and it's really garbled, and it's hard to understand, as a native speaker. And so what they're hearing, it's kind of like when you listen to a song and you think you know what they're saying.
Okay.
It's kind of like that. So they'll come out with something that really makes no sense, and they're like, teacher, what does that mean? I really couldn't even begin to tell you.
Do you tell your children you were in the army?
I do.
You fired guns and things like that? All the guns they love, you fired them?
I do.
Wow. Yeah, but my boys, I always like to remind my boys that they're going to be in the army one day. And then I'm like, see these girls over here? They're going to be at E-Day drinking tea. And you're going to be out in a field and it's going to be raining on you. And that's what you're going to do for 2 years. And they just sort of look at you like...
Yeah, I have the feeling that most of my students will buy their way out of it somehow.
Maybe your children, yeah. No, mine are doomed for. But they're so like that's not even an issue, you know, because there's 1,001 things I have to worry about between now and age 15, you know, like tests. Yeah, but I'm convinced actually that the army is ultimately. They will enjoy it, you know, because it's like it's 2 years when there are no tests. There's just no studying.
But there is, it's pretty full on here. Like there's so much hierarchy and really a lot of hazing.
Sure, yeah.
So like if you marry old school American military with fraternity hazing.
Right, yes.
That's sort of the military experience here. And they do it for free. Yeah. I think they get like Imanwan a month or something.
Yeah, it's pitiful, the pay. But but I know, I just think, one of my friends, her brother's in the army, and he likes it. He just, you know, they man a anti-aircraft battery.
Okay.
And, so they just spend most of their time playing soccer, you know, and then sometimes they practice, and then they go back to playing soccer.
Well, I think it probably depends a lot on what job you get, because if you're infantry, I'm sure you have a very different experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you luck out and get some good job, then it's nice. And, you know, if you get on as a Katusa, which probably means you know someone who knows someone.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you can serve with the American military, and that's even cushier still.
That's nigh impossible to get into these days.
Yeah.
I used to work with a guy very, very temporarily. He was a really cool guy. He used to MTV Korea. He was like a producer on a show on MTV Korea. He was like Korean. He just had a green card for America.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was back in Korea teaching. And so he had to do his military service. I mean, you know, perfect English because he spent most of his life in America. So I'm like, oh, you know, you're gonna be a Katusa? And he's like, no, there's just so many Koreans with excellent English these days that it's not... Yeah.
No, I think it's all who you know to get in to be a Katusa.
But I mean, the Katusas, it's like they work to the American schedule, you know. So
yeah,
it's like
so they get,
Monday to Friday.
Yeah, it's mostly Monday to Friday. They can't. I mean, if you're infantry, it's not. Like there are some crappy jobs in the military.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise.
All right.
But if they get a decent job, then Monday to Friday for the most part. In the military, anything, you know, like American holidays are all put on a Monday or a Friday, just about.
Right.
Except like 4th of July or Christmas, you know.
Do they get the Korean holidays off as well?
They get Korean holidays, and in the U.S. military, all 3-day weekends automatically become 4-day weekends. So it's Monday and Friday.
Wow.
Yeah. So they get the 800,000 Korean holidays plus American holidays.
Wow.
So basically anything your bank would be closed for, and possibly an extra day on the other side. Yeah, so it's nice.
And then PX access.
Yeah, well, it's not just the PX. There's a PX, the commissary, which is the grocery store.
Okay.
The Class 6, which is liquor store. they've also got bookstores on post where you can get American books at American prices.
Okay.
What else have they got? All kinds of good stuff. The gym. The gym is free.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, of course, a doctor, all that's free.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, there are, you know, if you're in the military, you really can only survive if you're single because it's not a family salary by any means.
Okay.
But there aren't a lot of little perks like that.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity. Update on the Daejeong sign situation. Little recap. So the Hagwons in Daejeong City in Korea, they hung up all these signs on their school buses saying, you know, foreigners, you are being watched. And
are probably rapists.
Yeah, and sort of warning them, you know, not to be working illegally on your visa, and also sort of then warning in the Korean, you know, kind of warning the Koreans that, you know, it is illegal to hire foreigners to teach English, and, you know,
they're child molesters.
Yeah, and they are child molesters. So, you know, so watch it.
Yeah, they only don't molest children when they're in class.
Yeah, so naturally the... You know, the foreigners in Daejeon felt these signs were racist and inflammatory and...
You don't say.
Yeah. And they weren't really happy about it. So there's been a lot of protest and it's brought a lot of media attention now to the, you know, the Hagwon situation down there. Mostly from the English newspapers. And in the Korean Herald, one of the English newspapers, they did a really long article actually on the whole Daejeon situation. I'll post a link to it, but there was one great thing in here. All right, so they're interviewing writers, sort of talking to the representative from the Hagwon Association, and article says something. There have been widespread accusations that many Daejeong Hagwons, for example, do not pay national health insurance for their employees and do not make contributions as required by law. Mun, that's the representative guy, said abiding by and enforcing government regulations is something his association should encourage its members to do. He admitted, however, that the DFA does not currently have a written code of conduct. So what besides drinking, what is the object of this, you know, organization if they have no code of conduct? Isn't that kind of one of the primary things you do when you have an association? You set kind of some minimum standards. You know, we all agree we will abide by these minimum standards.
Yeah, have a mission statement, a code of conduct.
Crap like that, yeah.
Yeah, not just persecute the whiteies.
Yeah, and then they're also informed, too, that...
Well, he does have some good information here. He does mention there is a 5 million won fine if you are caught teaching privates.
Yeah.
Which I think that most foreigners don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely serious if you do get caught. But one of the major issues, too, was that foreigners who are married to Koreans have a F visa.
Yeah, they've got a different visa.
Yeah.
And they can teach privates.
Exactly, they can teach privates. But the signs are saying all foreigners. It's illegal to hire any foreigner to teach private English lessons, which clearly is wrong. And if you're also implying that they're rapists, this is going to affect the tutoring business of people, foreigners who can legally work. So there, you know, there's talk of lawsuits, and when they were informed that, you know, that they're wrong and this is now infringing on some legal business, they were kind of like, oh really? Well, okay, I guess we'll apologize to those people. There's going to be an apology. I don't know. So, yeah. So
I like the finger pointing that's going on, that the DFA said that immigration had initiated it and to direct all complaints to them.
Yes.
And immigration was like, actually, we just approved it. This was your idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're sort of each claiming the other said it was your idea. We're just helping carry it out. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of backtracking, too. Like, one of the guys, Charles, who is the one who is going to be taking the English phone calls, he was just claiming, like, no, I'm just a volunteer because I speak English really well and I have no real association. No, it turns out he's a Hagwon owner within this association. A lot of just backtracking and their lies exposed. But the most recent development is the signs are all coming down now. Like, most of the schools have actually removed the signs from their buses. There might be one still tooling around, what I've heard, but they haven't taken their signs down. But, they've kind of realized that this is bringing a pretty big spotlight on the whole organization. And, you're not paying your taxes. I guess the government would like to know that, right?
Yeah.
If they're not paying taxes. Government likes taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So at this point, I would still say don't ever apply for any jobs in Daejeon, just because I'm sure they've taken the signs down grudgingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just sort of an example of, I don't know, the amount of control they would like to impose upon you. And their ability to plan, you know,
their honesty. Yeah, I think the ability to plan is a good one, because I'm sure they sat down to come up with some idea to, like, stop foreigners from teaching privates. And they obviously put absolutely no thought into the possible consequences other than the ones that they wanted.
Exactly, yeah. Like, will this offend our foreign workers?
Right. If the signs are also written in English, where all of the foreign teachers could read it instead of just some of them who happen to be Korean or have Korean spouses, would that maybe not be a good move strategically? Because seriously, if they had only put the signs in Korean, I bet they would have just had a handful of complaints from foreign teachers.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, there are definitely enough people here that can read Korean, have Korean spouses, those kind of things.
Yeah, but...
I think it would have still come out in the end.
In the end, but I think they could have gotten away with it for a lot longer.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
The average foreigner does not know words like rapist and child molester in Korean.
Yeah, in Korean, right, yes. All right, man. I don't know. So, yeah. So some stuff, it's all coming together.
Yeah.
You know? But my fear was that it would spread. You know, like
somebody said, "Hey, that's a great idea."
Exactly, that would spread to Seoul or something like that. So we've nipped this one in the bud, I think. Yeah. But no actual job opportunity this week. But there was one really good website I did find with jobs. Kim's. ESL.com. So KIMSESL.com. And a lot of interesting jobs there. But also, too, what I liked is they have pictures of the area you'll be teaching. Yeah. And which I thought was kind of cool.
And they have lots of tourist information.
Yeah, they got a lot of links and stuff like that. Yeah. And the layout is, I think it's
very work and play esque.
It's programmed well. Clearly, somebody who knows a lot about PHP or Active Server Pages or some sort of scripting language has done a brilliant job coding the whole thing. But aesthetically, it's like it looks like it was done by a computer programmer with no aesthetic ability. Don't let that turn you off.
Yeah.
But I'm just really impressed by the amount of interesting information in the pictures and stuff like that. Yeah. Although I got to admit that there's one job in Anyang that they really did take the best possible pictures of Anyang when it was like. I guess they didn't take much pictures of the street trash and stuff like that, vomit and the people sleeping it off in the street. Anyang's, I was not impressed with Anyang that much, but
they got, found the one nice street corner.
They got the four good angles,
So let that be a warning. If you see some nice pictures and you only see one or two nice pictures, those might be the only one or two possible.
Yeah. But again, there's just that idea that it's like, if they put a lot of time and thinking into the website, then maybe there's some intelligence behind there in the getting you set up for a job and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I spent a little time on there last night just going through some of the touristy information. And actually, I sent a link to a friend to check it out. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah.
So even if you're not looking for a job, there's still some good stuff on there.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to browse. Yeah, and gives me a certain level of confidence in their ability as recruiters and stuff like that. Yeah. But always remember though that once you sign a contract, the recruiter is through.
Are they ever?
Yeah. So they are not your, advocate.
No.
Yeah. Don't assume that that's their role after signing the contract and they've collected their fee.
Yeah, it's not an employment agency in the American sense where you go and fill out your application. If you have some problems, you go back to them.
Yeah.
No. Once the contract is signed, they are done.
Yeah,
they may have been whining and dining you and emailing you every day and seeing how you're doing and if your cat's feeling better or whatever, but you sign that contract and they no longer know your name.
Absolutely. Right, that's our show. And Jennifer Cotisol, anything up with Cotisol?
Cotisol, next Saturday is our meeting. It will be about getting your shy Korean students to talk.
All right.
The speaker is a great speaker. She's very interesting and very motivating to listen to. And so you can check out the website, kotesol.org, kotesol.org. And you can find the map under the Seoul chapter.
Okay. And that's, where is it located?
Sungmyung University.
In that northern Seoul.
One stop from Samgakchi.
Samgakchi.
So really close to Itaewon.
Ah, okay. All right.
So if you're in Itaewon for say a late breakfast at Nashville's and you're like, what can I do now? You could go to the meeting.
There's a couple of reasonable Sunday brunch places now in Gangnam. There's some German pub that has a $10 Sunday brunch, and there's some Red Rock or some Canadian themed pub in Gangnam that also has a $10 brunch. Yeah. I think there's some really expensive brunch places
there
in Itaewon.
Yeah. But Nashville's does breakfast until 2 on the weekends, and theirs is pretty reasonably priced.
Oh,
it's in the
much?
Basement.
Almayo?
It depends on what you order. It's not brunch.
Not a buffet.
It's breakfast.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Tsuji's is where you go if you want the nice, super high priced stuff. But
yeah, right. Tsuji's, I was thinking of this. Everything's very overpriced there.
Yeah, Nashville's is much more reasonably priced.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And a little bit of a sad note while we're talking about Itaewon.
All right.
Gunther of Three Alleys is leaving the country.
I've only been to Three Alley a couple times.
Oh, Three Alleys is a great place.
Oh, really?
Unless you're alone. And then, okay. Well, if you're alone and just want to drink at the bar, okay. No problem. But if you're alone and want a table, then they don't really like you too much.
Okay. Saddest thing I ever saw was a pub in Itaewon, Christmas Eve, foreigner sitting at a table by himself.
Yeah.
probably arrived, newly arrived kind of thing. Yeah. I thought, oh God, that's so sad. But I'm tired. I'm not going to invite him over to our table. He might have strange diseases. You never know.
That's the Christmas spirit. Well, he's probably a rapist.
Yeah. Yeah, your hotel brunches are like $35 or
something. Oh, I've seen some that are like over 70 at the really nice hotels.
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, the Imperial Palace, it's like $35, something like that, yeah. But there was one woman on the teacher message board, her and her friends. They were Canadian women, but they liked the American GIs. And
who doesn't?
Yeah, I think I always say that, you know, it's if you're a Canadian woman, you're coming here to teach, you know, American GIs. They're definitely different from the ESL teachers, you know, better bodies, you know, better benefits, access to the PX, yeah, and Latino men, stuff like that. Things we don't have in Canada in great number, you know, yeah, very exotic. And so what they would do is they had a game where they would go to Itaewon and they would pick up a GI and then try to get the GI to take them to a hotel and then
this sounds like an over 18 game.
Yeah. And then they would, like, the next morning when he's sleeping it off, she would call up her other friends, and they would come down, and they would pig out on the hotel breakfast and have it billed to the room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there you go. So that, yeah, that's a pretty good game, actually. Watch those Canadian women.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Any other next week? What is next week, anyways?
I have no idea. I think I pulled some crazy date for next Saturday last week, but I have no idea what the date is next weekend.
It's the 16th, right. So, yeah, so we will be doing a podcast next week. Yeah. Yeah, new work schedule, so usually I would get this podcast out, Tuesday afternoon for me, which maybe was Monday night for people back in North America. So, yeah, this last week I was kind of a bit slow in getting it out. Had some things to do and new work schedule. I had a lot of breaks so I could edit this at work, you know.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, so now I no
now
long...
that you've got to work 4 hours straight.
I know. Gosh, the nerve. So, yeah.
Slave drivers.
Yeah. So, don't look for the podcast at the normal time. Maybe add a day to when you normally look for the podcast. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, we had our Wednesday holiday.
Yes.
Yeah, how was your Wednesday holiday?
It was good.
Yeah, the weather wasn't bad.
Yeah, the last holiday we had, it sucked.
Yeah.
The weather was okay, but I was supremely lazy.
All right.
Like, I got up and at like 9, and I think I watched like 5 episodes of Heroes consecutively.
Oh, okay.
And I blame you for that, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
And then I was like, oh, it's like 2. I should do something. And then I was like, oh, I'm tired. So I took a nap.
All right.
And then it was 3.
Okay.
And then it was really getting kind of late to go into Seoul. So basically, I did nothing.
Wow. Yeah, most of my children, I asked them, well, what did you do on your holiday? And they just slept. They just didn't do anything on
that day. That's most of my students' hobby.
Yeah. Constitution Day, June 6th. Isn't that D-Day? North America, June 6th.
Isn't it the 8th? I have no idea.
Oh, I don't.
Please do not ask me dates.
I'm embarrassed I wouldn't know what D-Day is. I think it's June 6th is D-Day. So yeah, so Constitution Day is June 6th. I don't know what that... No, sorry, Memorial Day. Memorial Day is That was more.
No, Memorial Day is always on a weekend, isn't it?
Korean Memorial Day.
Oh.
Yeah, there you are. Constitution Day is July, a holiday in July. We've got one in July.
Yes.
Falls on a Tuesday. But yeah. I did pull that virtual Friday thing on one of my students. I was talking about, it was Tuesday, yeah, right before the Wednesday holiday. And I'm like, oh, it's Friday today. And the student was like looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you go to school tomorrow? No. So it is like Friday. And she's like, you can see the little gears turning, and finally it sort of clicks in her mind what I'm talking about. And then she gets this look of just disgust on her face, like, why do you make life so complicated? And then she just storms away. It was brilliant. All right. Well, I guess that's our show. Send us email, gokorea@gmail.com. Check us out on the internet, www.gokorea.info. All right. And bye, Jennifer.
All right. Bye.
All right. Carl.
Whoever.
Yeah. That guy.
Not John.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.